Information, please. Wake up, America. Time to stop the experts. This is the program in which you, the public, turn the tables on the authorities. Send us questions with the right answers. Four wise men guarantee to answer them correctly or pay you $5 for every question that finds them not wise enough. Each question accepted wins you $2. You can win, therefore, as much as $7 per question if you're lucky and Information Please is not. Our master of ceremonies is Clifton Fadiman, literary critic of the New Yorker magazine, Mr. Fadiman.
Thank you, Mr. Cross. Good evening, everybody. May I introduce our three wise men and one wise woman, who may be wiser but also sadder before the evening is over. Our two old faithfuls are with us again, Mr. Franklin P. Adams, columnist of the New York Post, and John Kern, sports expert, paleontologist. Hi, pal. And walking encyclopedia. Information, please, is glad to welcome back Mr. Oscar Levant, musical expert, composer, pianist, and he takes special pleasure in announcing as its fourth guest the star of stage and screen, whose charm is exactly equal to her ability, both of them being almost unmeasurable, Miss Lillian Gish. You're supposed to listen to that, Miss Gish. And now, Miss Gish and gentlemen, the rules. They're very simple. I'll put the questions to the entire board. If you know the answer, raise your hand. A question composed of no more than two parts may be answered by one man or woman. If it has more parts than that, the board may cooperate. But if any part is answered wrong, we lose $5. When you hear that cash register ring, that means the questioner is getting his $5. Finally, ladies and gentlemen, remember, the Information Please is an unrehearsed show driven without rain or brightness. Get up. The first question comes from Mr. William Halsey of Boston, Massachusetts. Now, I'll ask you, Miss Gish and gentlemen, to cast yourself back into your home, if you have homes, and try to imagine how you feel in your home with all your relatives around you. I'll ask you to try to give me five typical commonplace remarks or cliches used by the family and its members in the home. For example, the one I remember best is the one I used to say always when I was a small boy. Did I ask to be born? People always say that. Or another one might be, times have changed, Mom. Let's have five of them. Mr. Levant.
Hey, are you going to stay in that bathroom all day?
Very good. Any family that has a bathroom has heard that say. Mr. Adams.
He got a bigger piece of ice cream than I did.
Perfectly true. Two, Mr. Levant.
Stop pecking on me.
Had a terrible home life, Mr. Levant. That's correct, though. Three, Mr. Turin?
It's good, but it's not like what Mother used to make.
Very good. That's four. Miss Gish, have you had no home life?
Where were you last night?
Yes, that's perfectly all right. Five. Home folks, all of the four. The second question is from Dr. Frank Black of Radio City, the orchestra conductor known to anybody who ever listens in on the air. He sends us the following question. We are going to play a melody that includes four well-known themes of classical and popular music. And we want you to identify three out of these four themes. Is pianist ready? Sure. That he can play. Can any of you gentlemen answer? Mr. Levant.
Should I, you want him to do it again?
No. Can you name the four right off the reel?
No. I can name the, I'd like the sequence. The first one was, will he do it again?
Yes, go right ahead. Do it again.
That's Brook. Brook Violin Concerto in G minor.
That's correct. Brook's Violin Concerto in G minor. Now the second one.
That's my favorite piano concerto. Schumann. Like Schumann piano concerto.
In what? In
A,
what minor?
A minor.
In A minor, yes. That's correct, Mr. Levant. Go right ahead. Oh, Mr. Adams! Be quiet, Mr. Levant. Let Mr. Adams have the floor.
That's the Mendelssohn concerto, and I don't know what.
E minor. It's an E minor.
Between you. Pretty good. Thanks, Mr. Levant. Thanks, Mr. Adams. Now we have to get one more.
That's Mr. Black's Unfriendliness again.
Is that the name of the song? Mr. Black's Unfriendliness?
That chorale, old flavor. That's a ballad, but I don't know what it is. We have 3 out of 4.
No, we have 3 out of 4. We're all right. Yeah. Want to stop, or you want me to tell you what it is? The answer is a song called My Mother Was a Lady, or If Jack Were Only Here. Do you know that one, Mr. Adams?
Yes, but that's just the end of it.
You never got to the end. Oh, that's the end of it. Well, that's the end is all right. You don't have to go through the whole thing from the beginning.
Well, we just played from You Wouldn't Dare Insult Me, Sir.
Third question, Mr. James Englander of New York City. The following are the last names of well-known characters of fiction. The last names. You have to give their first names. We're getting rather intimate this evening. Give their first names by which they are well-known. You have to get 4 out of 5. The first last name is Capulet. Capulet.
Julia.
Very good, Miss Gibbs. Thank you. All right, Miss Gibbs, see if we can do this one. Randall. R-A-N-D-A-L-L. Randall. Probably one of the best-known characters in American fiction. Unquestionably one of the best-known characters in American fiction.
Randall's Island.
Won't accept it.
That's the first name, Randall.
Yeah. Well, maybe Randall's comma island might do. Don't know it, eh? The answer is Rebecca in Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm. You've all read Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm. Left one wrong. Have to get the next 3 correct. The next is Sinclair, I believe it's pronounced, but spelt S-T-period-C-L-A-I-R. The man who invented that name could spell better than he could pronounce. Miss Adams?
Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Yes, but that isn't the first name.
Eva.
Yes, Little Eva. Little Eva. Don't forget the little. That's correct, Miss Adams.
Her first name was Eva. It wasn't her middle name.
You want to stick to Eva?
Her middle name was not Eva, and her first name was not Lil.
See, you're a precisionist.
I'm a precisionist.
All right. Franklin, precisionist Adams. For Schofield, S-C-H-O-F-I-E-L-D. Miss Adams.
Penrod Schofield.
Very good. And 5, White. White.
No.
That's right. Thank you, Mr. Just got under the wire on that one, Miss Dish. 4 out of 5, that's very good. The next question from Miss Mary Haynes of Chicago, Illinois. The following represent types in talking pictures. And I'm going to ask you to give the parallel of each of them in the silent picture days. For example, today I suppose public heart interest number 1 might be Clark Gable. Who would be his parallel in the silent picture days? Mr. Levant?
Valentino.
Yes? First name being?
Rudolph.
Very good. Getting better on first names this evening. Second, Every Man's Waterloo, which might be Mae West in our time. Miss Gish.
Peter Bell.
That's right. Thank you, Miss Gish. A nice sort of villain, such as Basil Rathbone today. Mr. Levant.
Lou Cody.
Lou Cody. Would that be right? That be right, you think, Miss Gish? Lou Cody, all right. Sid Chaplin would be wrong, wouldn't it?
Wrong.
All right. I just want to get a couple of wrong ones. Thank you, Mr. Levant. For our dear old mother, Mae Robeson.
Mary Carr.
I beg your pardon?
Mary Carr.
Mary Carr is quite correct. And 5 horror men, such as Boris Karloff.
Conrad Veidt.
Conrad Veidt in the Silent Age. Yes, another one who used to act very, very
hard. Lon Chaney.
That's right, Miss Gish. Thanks so much. Lon Chaney is correct. 5. This one from Laura Lee Chase of Anoka, Minnesota. You're asked to give the source of each of the following quotations or expressions. And each of these quotations consists of 3 words. And the 3 words are the same 3 words. Is that perfectly unclear? Yes, I think so. First, knock, knock, knock. Knock, knock, knock. It is not a game. That's 2 knocks. Mr. Curran.
Mr. Adams' favorite author, Shakespeare.
That's correct. And would you localize it for us? Localize it.
Well, now, I think it's in Macbeth.
That's right. You don't have to go any further.
Porter. It's the porter.
Yes. That's right. You don't have to go any further.
Porter. It's the porter.
Yes. That's right. You don't have to go any further.
Porter. It's the porter.
Yes. That's right. You don't have to go any further.
Porter. It's the porter.
Yes. That's right. You don't have to go any further.
Porter. It's the porter.
Yes. That's right. You don't have to go any further.
Porter. It's the porter.
Yes. That's right. You don't have to go any further.
Porter. It's the porter.
Yes. That's right. You don't have to go any further.
Porter. It's the porter.
Yes. That's right. You don't have to go any further.
Porter. It's the porter.
Yes. That's right. You don't have to go any further.
Porter. It's the porter.
Yes. That's right. You don't have to go any further.
Porter. It's the porter.
Yes. That's right. You don't have to go any further.
From the door.
That's correct.
You're welcome.
What a thing for Macbeth.
Thanks very much.
That's not so easy. Two. Stitch, stitch, stitch. Oh, they all know that. Miss Adams.
Song of the Shirt by Thomas Hood.
Very good.
In Poverty, Hunger, and Dirt.
You want to go on with that?
No.
Three. Break, break, break. Mr. Kieran.
On They Call Grey Stones O.C. Tennyson.
Tennyson is correct.
Sounds like a pool game.
Four. Smile, smile, smile. Smile, smile, smile. Mr. Kieran.
Well, that might be pack all your troubles in your old kit bag.
Yes, it is. It is. Don't be so skeptical. Five, a hope, a hope, a hope. A hope, a hope, a hope.
Somebody on the radio.
I beg pardon, Miss Kitty.
Somebody on the radio.
Well, let him in. Let him in. Who is it? Who is it on the radio? You're quite right, Miss Kitty. Let's have it. Miss Gish is apparently the only one of our four experts who listens to the radio.
I can't afford a radio.
I'll see that you get one in the morning, Mr. LeBan. Miss Gish, how about it?
I hope.
Yeah. Get excited now.
Bob Hope.
No.
Is it Edwin?
No. No guessing.
Is it me?
No, Mr. LeBan, it's not you. The answer is Al Pierce. Apparently, everybody in the studio audience knew Al Pierce, and Miss Gish knew about half of it. But I'm afraid that's going to cost us $5. We're supposed to get 5 out of 5. 6. This is from M. Kurtz of Washington, D.C. Name the athletic games in which the following number of participants constitute a team. The athletic games in which the following number of participants constitute a team. 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10. 2. Miss Adams.
Tennis.
18. Yes, in doubles. Quite correct. Haven't thought of that. Doubles in tennis or... what other game?
Badminton.
Badminton, yes. What else?
Squash racket.
All right, Mr. Levant.
Handball.
Mr. Kerr. Handball. Or poker with a kibitzer. 4. In which 4 participants constitute a team?
Tennis.
Oh, I think not, Miss Gish. You have a very funny-looking tennis court with 4 on each side.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A team, you see. A team.
Oh,
we'll pick you up later on, Miss Gish. That's all right. Mr. Curry.
Quadruple skulls and rowing.
Gee, that's a band. Oh, that's postgraduate stuff. How about polo, Mr. Curry? Is that right?
That would be fairly accurate.
8, really. 4 horses also. Now, you're right about that quadruple, whatever you said. Quadruple skulls and rowing.
Oh, I know. I'm right.
All right. 6. Mr. Levant.
Girls basketball. The only game I play, I know.
Are you the 6th man in that one? Miss Kira.
Ice hockey.
Ice hockey is correct. 8. 8. Miss Kira?
Girls football.
You keep the girls out of this, Miss Levant.
Well, it is an 8 or it's cruel because there are 9 in that.
Who's the 9?
The coxswain.
Oh, do we have to keep him in? Mm-hmm. It says crew down here, so can't you let the coxswain out?
Well, a lot of people forget about him, but he's always there if you look.
I know, but he's awful light. Let's read him out and call crew correct for 8. How about 10? A team of 10. Team of 10.
I think there are 10 men in lacrosse.
Well, you've got me. I don't know. I've never seen a lacrosse team in my life. The answer down here is softball having a roving fielder. Now, we'll go into this later on. If you're right about lacrosse...
No, I don't...
Mr. Kurtz will not get the $5. But if you're wrong, and I think you're wrong, we're going to ring up $5 right now. We got 2, 4, 6, and 8, but not 10. Softball with a roving fielder is the answer. How anybody found that out, I don't know. The next one. From Mrs. Louis Nash of Great Neck, Long Island. You're asked to quote 3 lines from different poems about night. Night, you know, the opposite of day. Volunteer. Three lines or a couplet, Miss Gish.
And the night shall be filled with music, and the cares that infest the day shall fold their tents like the Arabs and the silently steal away.
That's very nice. Thank you. Who
Longfellow?
That's right. Very good, Miss Gish. That's one. Mr. Sharon?
But scornful day represses night's void and vain caresses, and from her cloudier tresses unwinds the gold of his. That's from Mr. Swinburne. Algernon Charles Swinburne, man with green eyes and a red beard.
All right. How did he wear it? Mr. Levant, got another one?
I know one line, so you better not ask it.
Well, one line will do.
But it's not enough. It was on such a night as this. Troilus and Cressida.
All right, that'll do. It's really not about night, but I'll accept it. Let's have one or two more. The first line of... go ahead, Mr. Adams.
I heard the fabled garments of the night.
Where's it from?
Longfellow.
All right. Only know Longfellow's night. How about the first line of Keats's La Belle Dame sans Merci?
How about it?
Well, what is it? Anybody know that?
What can ail thee night at arms?
All right, Mr. Adams. Thanks very much. What can ail thee night at arms? Another kind of night. Pretty good on nights. Next question from Mr. Lawrence Holtz of Amityville, Long Island. It's a kind of complicated one. I want you to give him about 15 or 20 minutes to explain it. Mr. Levant, we're going to give you a vacation, if you don't mind. You don't have to answer this. Just go to the piano.
Can I smoke?
No, you can't smoke. Take your hands out of your pocket. I'm going to ask Mr. Levant to play the appropriate background music for the following scenes and actions, and I'll read them in a moment. And when he's completed that musical background, the other members of the board, there are three of them left, will be required to supply impromptu dialogue for the story. I know you don't understand a word of this, Mr. Adams, Ms. Gish, and Mr. Levant. I'm going to assign you your parts right now. You'll see this will all come out all right in the wash, if we can get them washed. Mr. Adams, will you be the villain?
I can't. I don't see how I can do it.
Miss Adams, you have to be the villain. Just twirl that mustache a second or two. Mr. Kieran, will you be the hero?
With pleasure.
And Miss Gish, will you be the lovely heroine?
If I can play it in pantomime.
Oh, no, you have to talk.
Oh, right.
Yes, you'll have to talk. You can do a little pantomime, too. Now, I shall be the prompter, the electrician, and the box office. Now, we're going to have the music by Mr. Levant. First, a farm scene, Mr. Levant. Can you play us a farm scene?
What time
of the
day?
I don't know. Make it evening. Make it evening.
I'd like morning better.
All right, make it morning. Oh, that's wonderful. That's cute. Two, a daughter at the deathbed of her dying mother. Now, you see, I'm setting the scene. It's a farm scene. The daughter is the deathbed of her dying mother. That's right. That's enough. Don't let her die. She'll be dead in a minute. Now, three, the villain. A smile of glee out of his face. That's right. Theater. That's right. And the girl is given her choice of marriage or foreclosure. You can't do that on a piano. Can't even give us foreclosure on a piano? All right, we've got the villain. Now there's a struggle, Mr. Levant. Can you give us a little struggle? I'm terrified. And five, rescue by the hero.
That's you, John.
And finally, to end this stirring story, Love's Triumph. I dare you to do that one. It sounds so triumphant to me. All right, that'll do for Love's Triumph. All right, now we'll go over it again from the beginning, and we shall have to ask you to supply the dialogue. There's a farm scene first, and the daughter is the deathbed of a dying mother. Miss Gish, do you think you'd give us a line of dialogue to go with?
I'll just be crying.
You're just crying now? All right, Miss Gish is crying. Everybody hear her crying? And now, let's have the villain come in. Mr. Adams.
That's a lie.
And, Miss Adams, could you give Miss Gish her choice of marriage or foreclosure? Just give it to her. Give her her choice.
Your choice, gal.
Where's the parson?
Where's the parson, says Miss Gish. We can't have a parson here because we haven't got any more people. I'll get to you in a minute, Miss Jerry. Now, let's have the struggle. Would you mind struggling a bit with Miss Gish, Mr. Adams? Or let's have the music. What do you say, Miss Gish? Miss Gish, you must have you around the throat. I can't hear a word.
Yes, I'm being choked.
You've been choked, all right. And finally, Mr. Chairman, will you come to the rescue? Let's have a look at that. All right.
Let that girl alone, you scoundrel.
What do you have to say to that, Miss Adams?
If you were half a man, you'd resent that.
Now, if you'll just rescue Miss Gish. Miss Chairman has just rescued Miss Gish, and we will have love triumph. No, none of that, Mr. Curran, none of that. You're not supposed to act this out in pantomime. Just tell us what you feel.
Darling, will you be mine?
Miss Gish.
There you are.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you, Mr. LeBlanc. Something extra. I can't get Mr. LeBlanc away from the piano. If you want to make it clean, let's have the wedding march, Mr. LeVant.
That's a lot of fun.
All right. Information, please, announces a loss of how much?
How much have we lost today?
$10. Doing pretty well. The next question from Mr. Leonard Adams of Boston, Massachusetts. Oh, this is an easy one. You're asked to identify the person who said each of the following. There are five of them, and we have to get all five of them. One, I have not yet begun to fight. Who said I have not yet begun to fight?
Hitler.
Don't think it'll do, Mr. LeVant. Mr. Adams?
John Paul Jones.
Yes, that's the correct answer. Two, I forgot to duck. Mr. LeVant?
Jack Dempsey.
That's right. What fight?
Tony.
All right. Three, hold fire. Wait until you see the fights of their eyes. Miss Gish?
Well, there's several more.
Well, you're one war out.
Emma?
No, it was a war, all right. But you're just a war or two out. Mr. Curran?
It was at Bunker Hill. It was, I think it was Captain Warren.
No, it was Israel Putnam.
Sorry?
That's quite all right. Now, I think I'm going to call that wrong because Miss Gish didn't quite get that, and you didn't quite get it either, Mr. Curran. Four, hit them where they ain't. Dreadful grammar. Mr. Adams?
Willie Keeler.
Okay. And five, peace, it's wonderful. Mr. LeVant.
Father Divine.
Very good. You got four out of five. That'll cost us $5. I'll have to announce a correction on an error that we made earlier in the evening. NBC is being swamped with calls. I'm going to get out the pumps. Because there are 10 men on a lacrosse team. Did you say there were 10 men on a lacrosse team?
Yes, I did, but I wasn't very positive.
Ring back that $5, will you? All right. Thanks. The next question from Miss Ruth Wetlaufer of New York City. What play starred the first mentioned person, I'm going to mention one person first, in the legitimate version, and the second named person in the motion picture version? For example, Gertrude Lawrence was starred in the legitimate version and Norma Shearer in the picture version. Of what play? Mr. LeVant.
Private Lives.
That's quite correct. Thank you. Two, Sir Cedric Hardwick starred in the legitimate version and Edward G. Robinson in the other version. What play, Miss Gish?
Dr. Clitterhouse.
Yes. Give him his adjective, though. He had an adjective before doctor.
The amazing.
Yes, the amazing. Amazing, Miss Gish. That's quite correct. Three, Alexander Kirkland in the play version and Clark Gable in the film version. Mr. LeVant?
Man White.
Man White's correct. Four, Margaret Sullivan in the play version, Catherine Hepburn in the... Miss Gish?
Stage door,
Miss Gish, quite correct. Five, Pauline Lord in the play version, and Greta Garbo in the other version. Miss Gish again.
Anna Christie.
Oh, you know this stuff, Miss Gish. It's never that. Very good. The next question from Miss Lily Frankel, New York. Give the name of the picture in which each of the following songs was featured and sung. First, Thanks for the Memory. And for the band.
Big broadcast of 1938.
He goes for the movies. That's quite correct. Two, Without My Walking Stick. Want to play that for us? Mr. LeVant?
Alexander's Ragtime Band.
That's quite correct. Third, Cowboy from Brooklyn. You know that kid? That Mr. LeBasque?
Cowboy from Brooklyn.
I said that. That's quite correct. For who are we to say? Mr. LeBasque got two hands up. Let's promise of that.
The girl in the Golden West, which I didn't see.
Well, how do you know this, then?
Because I know the publisher.
Bringing your friends into the program, eh? Five, I've got a pocket full of dreams. Let's have that. Did anybody go to the movie except Mr. LeBasque? And nobody listens to the radio?
I don't go. They come to me, the movie.
How about it, Mr. LeBasque? Where's that from?
That's Bing Crosby, Singer, Center.
Very good. That's quite correct. Now I'm going to ask you, or rather Mrs. Hunter Baldwin of Richmond, Virginia, is going to ask you to complete the following epitaphs. It's a bit gloomy. First, here lies the body of our Anna, done to death by a banana. It wasn't the fruit that laid her low. Complete that epitaph. Miss Kieran's usually pretty good at this sort of thing. Freakin' graveyards. Miss Kieran.
It was the skin she stepped on with her toe.
All right. Probably all right. Two. Beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Uncle Peter Daniels, who too early in the month of May... Mr. Kieran, you look intelligent. No, I was deceived.
Got bit by cocker spaniel.
Oh, good. Yes, but that wouldn't have anything to do with the month of May. It's a nice line, but I won't take it. Beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Uncle Peter Daniels, who too early in the month of May took off his winter flannels. Perfectly clear.
That would have fooled me.
Yes, it fooled me, too. Three, here lies my wife. Here, let her lie. Now she's at rest.
And so am I.
All right, Adam. Two out of three. That's going to cost us $5. Now we'll go from graveyards to ghosts. It's a gloomy program this evening. This is from Miss Agnes Selmer of Mastiff, Long Island. Name five ghosts famous in literature. And I don't mean ghost writers, Mr. Chair. I know what you're thinking of. Say five ghosts famous in literature or the movies. Five ghosts. Miss Gish.
The ghost of Hamlet's father.
Yes, that's the probably the most famous ghost in all literature. Very good. Mr. Adams.
Banquo's ghost.
Yes. Now, can't we get away from Shakespeare? Thank you. Mr. LeBasque.
For me.
There are two ghosts in the Fabulous Invalid. You just opened them.
And nobody's seen it.
I saw it.
Three ghosts.
Oh, well, you haven't had no. I'll only count them as one. I'll only count them as one.
Three ghosts.
Can't you raise a couple of more ghosts among your bright spirits?
Peter Grimm.
Peter Grimm. Yes, there was a ghost in Peter Grimm. That's three. Mr. LeBasque?
The ghost goes west. Granny Claire's six.
That's very good. That's four. One more ghost, please. Just another ghost. Miss Gish.
Mary Rose.
I don't know. I've never seen the play or read it. Is there a ghost
in Mary Rose? Yes, the ghost of the mother comes back later.
All right, that's five ghosts. Do you have a ghost on your mind, Mr. Evans?
Where's our ghost?
Oh. I don't know how much more time we have. Let's see. We have time perhaps for one or two more. This from Martha Lay of Jersey City, New Jersey. You're asked to answer the following questions about artists. What paintings of peasantry inspired Edwin Markham to write The Man with the Hoe? Mr. Kier.
It's one of Millais' paintings.
One of Millais' paintings.
The Angelus, I should say.
It was called The Man with the Hoe. That's what gave him the idea for the phrase. I'm afraid that's all we'll have time for. We've lost $10 altogether. And next Tuesday evening, three of the experts are going to consist of Miss Adams, Miss Kieran, and Mr. Mark Duffy of the New York Herald Tribune. Our guest of honor next week will be an American hero, distinguished both as an expert on sports and on Shakespeare. Ladies and gentlemen, we give you next week Mr. Gene Tunney. And now, Mr. Cross, will you take the mic and remind our audience of the rules once more? Information, please, thanks you and asks you to come again. Can't we raise a couple of more ghosts among you bright spirits? Mr. Hitch.
Peter Grimm.
Peter Grimm. Yes, there was a ghost in Peter.